Today we're going to learn the Hakdama of the Sefer Dor Revi'i. This big black Sefer right here, very heavy Sefer. The Dor Revi'i is a commentary on Maseches Chulin. Now it is possible that a person could be a Ben Torah and a Talmud Chacham and learn their whole lives and never learn the Dor Revi'i. And unlike many of the other Sfarim that we do, like when we did the Hakdama, for example, to the Mishnah Brura, I would say it's impossible that a person would be a Talmud Chacham and learn their whole lives and never ever open a Mishnah Brura, or never ever open an Igros Moshe, or never. But a Dor Revi'i, it's Shaykh. It's Shaykh that a person can learn all of Shas and can learn all of Shulchan Aruch and never open a Dor Revi'i. So why are we doing the instruction to the Dor Revi'i? Is it if it's not one of the classics? So first of all, we already did 35 Hakdamas, so and a lot of the very important Sfarim don't have Hakdamas. But more importantly, the Dor Revi'i's Hakdama is a phenomenal Hakdama. Meaning, even more, the Sefer is a beautiful Sefer, but more famous than the Sefer is the Hakdama itself. This is one of those examples where sometimes we do the Hakdamas of a Sefer because the Sefer is such a critical Sefer, and sometimes we do the Hakdama of a Sefer not because the Sefer is so critical, but because the Hakdama is such an amazing Hakdama, such a profound and important Hakdama. We are not going to get through the entire Hakdama this week. Maybe we'll do it next week also. Maybe we'll split it in two parts. We'll see. But let's begin the Dor Revi'i. Now let me just give you a little bit of background information who the Dor Revi'i was. Anyone ever hear of the Dor Revi'i? Is this? I assume not, right? Okay, good. I mean, not good. It's just not bad. I understand. Rav Moshe Shmuel Glasner was a Hungarian Rav and a very, very great Talmud Chacham. He was Rav of a town called Kloisenberg, and he died in 1923 in Eretz Yisrael. He made Aliyah. I'm sorry, 1924. In 1923, he left to Yerushalayim and he lived the last year of his life in Eretz Yisrael. The name of the Sefer is the Dor Revi'i. He explains at the very end of the Hakdama, which we're not going to get to now, that the reason he named the Sefer Dor Revi'i is because he is the eldest great-grandson of the Chasam Sofer. So he is the Dor Revi'i from the Chasam Sofer. And any Hungarian Jew, when you talk to them about the Chasam Sofer, there was, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, and just above them, the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer was, was like greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you were the Dor Revi'i of the Chasam Sofer, and you're a Hungarian Jew, you're going to advertise that you're the Dor Revi'i. So that's why he called the Sefer Dor Revi'i. Although he was a great grandson of the Chasam Sofer through his mother's side. His mother's mother's father was the Chasam Sofer. But he did not necessarily, even though he used the Chasam Sofer as his primary inspiration, he didn't necessarily fall in line with everything you would expect of a Hungarian Talmud Chacham who's a great-grandson of the Chasam Sofer. Just even his style of learning is much more similar to the Litvisha style of learning. It's much more similar to the style that we're accustomed to, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's style of learning, than it is to many of the Hungarians. He was very against the whole concept of pilpul and things like that. He was very straight-laced in terms of the way he approached Torah and Halacha. Just what's pshat, what's the Rishonim trying to tell me, let's organize them, let's figure out the Naftaminas. Very, very direct. Now, he didn't involve Kabbalah in his understanding of pshat. He didn't involve other things that are beyond just simple Ruach HaKodesh or anything like that. Just simple trying to read the words, understand the words. That was his approach, and categorize things like Reb Chaim would categorize things. The other surprise about a Dor Revi'i of the Chasam Sofer was that he was a Zionist. He was a founder of Mizrahi. He was very close with Rav Kook, Zichrono Levracha, especially after he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And for that reason, a number of the Hungarians weren't so thrilled with that decision of his when he moved to Eretz Yisrael, when he moved to Yerushalayim. He gave a speech at the train station after spending a number of years as the, 40 years as the chief rabbi of the town where he was, of Kloisenberg. He gave a speech and he said that he really strongly encouraged everyone to join him because he said that he felt that there will come a time where Hungarian Jews will wish they can go to Eretz Yisrael, will need to go to Eretz Yisrael, but will not have the ability to go to Eretz Yisrael. And of course that proved prophetic less than two decades later, where, you know, in the Holocaust, and but obviously not too many people followed him. So let us begin. Now, why is the Akdama of the Dor Revi'i such an important Akdama? The reason it's an important Akdama is that he spends a lot of time trying to trace some of the rules of the Mesorah of Torah. If you're a Talmud of Rav Shechter or a Talmud of a Talmud of Rav Shechter, this is something that's a very important topic to you. Rav Shechter talks about this all the time. Why is it that an Amora doesn't argue on a Tana? You know, what role did the Rishonim play versus the Amoraim? Versus, you know, these kinds of things. This is what he fixates on. This is what he focuses on in the Hakdama. So I want to do a lot of inside, not all of it, but a lot of it inside. So you have the copies in front of you. So he starts Yotzara Oru Vorei Achoshech. It's customary with many people, and they start off a Hakdama. They start with four words that begin with the letters Yudke Vavke. So he does the same. Yotzara Oru Vorei Achoshech. Yisbarach v'yishtabach min ha'olam v'ad'olam ki ha'zelu ma'zeh asa l'kim k'day she'yizgader bo ha'adam l'havdil l'hafrid v'en or v'achoshach. That God created darkness and light. God created competing forces v'en ha'emes v'ashekar, and God created competing forces of truth and untruth. Ki zeh kol ha'adam kol zman shu chay al ha'adama lirdof v'lidrosh achar ha'nistar v'anelam v'arachot v'asasam imenu. He sets the tone for his Hakdama by highlighting human responsibility to find things, to research, to learn, to discover, to develop in learning, because that's going to be the main point of his Hakdama. A lot of what was considered, I don't know, revolutionary, but at least important in this Hakdama, is the role that he attributes to the Chachmei HaMesorah in the development of Torah. He views the Chachmei HaMesorah as actually contributing toward the body of Torah, rather than just studying what was there before and just trying to figure out what previous generations said. That Chachmei HaMesorah, the Rabbanim of each generation, have the ability to add to Torah, to grow Torah, to enhance Torah through their input. So he starts off by saying that everyone who's on this earth has a responsibility. Lirdof v'lidrosh achar hanistar v'anelam. Go and research and look for that which is hidden, that which is distant, that which is hidden from us. V'shtokukuso zosi tachliso v'tachlis v'ikr chiyuso. It's our purpose, it's what we're alive for. Kenu ba'adam bal taivos gashmius v'chenu ba'adam ha'mesav l'malos nafsho b'muskalos v'chayi ruach. And he says, that drive to want more, to want to find, to want to achieve, to want to grasp, to want to get things, is true for many people on the gashmius level. That's yesh mishesh l'man ratzam asayim. Person always wants more money, more gashmius, more taivos. But it's also true, and it should be true, that by nature we should be curious, we should be interested, we should want to find out new things. The second we stop trying to find new things, the second we stop trying to achieve, the second we just say, you know what, I'm done, I'll just live out the string, you know, I'll just retire and take it easy, I'm not interested in growing anymore, at that point, a person's life is no longer a life. Life is all about constant growth. I just mentioned last night in this shiur that I gave in the White Shul that the Medrash tells us that when Rabbi Akiva saw that his Talmidim were falling asleep, so Rabbi Akiva said he wanted to wake him up a little bit. So he said, he figured he'd say a nice drasha to wake him up. So what he said was, Ma rasa Esther limlo chalkuf v'chaf v'zayin medina. What made Esther decide to rule over 127 provinces? The descendant of Sarah Imenu, who lived for 127 years, came along and decided to rule over 127 provinces, and the Talmidim woke up apparently. So the question everyone asks, like, what's shot in the Medrash? First of all, Esther didn't decide to do anything. She was forced into this situation where she had to marry Ahasuerus, and he happened to be a ruler over 127 provinces. And what does that have to do with Sarah's living for 127 years? Provinces to years, what's that all about? So another enikel of Chassam Sofer, another Dor Ravi, actually, of the Chassam Sofer, Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, who is a great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer, although the Dor Ravi was the oldest great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer, Rav Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer had one up on him, because he was the great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer on both his mother's and his father's side. So that was pretty impressive. His parents were first cousins, married each other. So another great-grandson of the Chassam Sofer, Rav Yosef Nechemya, says that the pshat is that what was great about Sarah was not that all of her years were exactly the same. That throughout her life, she never, you know, she stayed exactly the same. And when we say she was bas kuf ke bas chaf and bas chaf ke bas ayin, it wouldn't make sense to be exactly the same. We wouldn't admire that. Someone is exactly the same when they get old as when they get young. Rabbi Storch once told me that Rav Moshe Weinberger once absolutely ruined for him, and it totally ruined it for me, the last lecture. You ever see the last lecture? You know what I'm talking about? Right, very inspiring. You never saw it? You Google it. It was this very inspiring. Well, you're not going to want to anymore. But it was a very inspiring. It was a very inspiring lecture. It was this fellow who was a professor at Carnegie Mellon University, and he was dying, and he was told he's got a few months to live, and he decided to chase down all of his childhood dreams, everything he ever wanted to do. He was going to do. He wanted to go skydiving. He was going to go skydiving. He wanted to see the Swiss Alps. He saw the Swiss Alps. Whatever he wanted to do, he was going to chase down. And he videoed everything. And he took, you know, and he gave this lecture going through how he chased down all of his dreams. And he said at the end that this was for his children, to show his children that even though he's not there with them, they can always live on. They can always accomplish things. They can always do things. They should never say never. You know, that kind of thing. And it was like extremely inspiring. It was made into a book. It became a bestseller. Like, it was very, very inspiring. So Rabbi Storch was telling this to Rav Moshe Weinberger once, and he said, Rav Moshe Weinberger said, "Wait, say again. What happened?" He said, "Yeah, he was chasing down all of his childhood dreams, and he went and he accomplished everything he ever dreamt about." So Weinberger said, "That's so sad that his dreams as an adult were the same as what his dreams were as a child. He never grew up. Like, he still wanted to play shortstop for the Yankees when he was 40. Like, I mean, at what point did he mature?" And, like, it totally ruined it, you know? Like, yeah, you know, come to think of it, you know, like, when I was a kid, my dream was to be, I don't know, a Yankees broadcaster. I knew I wasn't going to be a shortstop, you know? But a Yankees broadcaster, so I knew I would be talking for a living, but, like, Like, at a certain point, like, you know, I'd rather be me than be John Sterling, you know? Like, at a certain point, you have to grow up a little bit. So what was great about Sarah was not that she was the same her whole life. It was that every day was a new challenge. Every day she was looking to grow. She was, most people, when they hit a certain age, they just sort of, you know, level off. And they're not interested in growing anymore. They're not interested in learning new things. They're not interested in accomplishing anymore. It's just, you know, they just level off. They you know, just live out the rest of their lives how they are. What was great about Sarah was that kuf v'chav zayin, that 127 years equal in terms of her growth. V'atakam b'yol laila, Avram Avinu composed Eishes Chayil as a hesped for Sarah. V'atakam b'yol laila, she got up in the middle of the night, means that in the nighttime of her life, when most people are schluffing already, she was still interested in accomplishing. Esther came to a point in her life where she could have easily said, and she almost did say, "You know what, I've been a good girl my whole life. I've been a faithful family member. I've been an Ovedes Hashem. I don't need to risk my life and walk into the king right now. You know, I've done enough. I don't need to take advantage of this opportunity." And Mordechai has to pull her aside and give her a schmooze. "Mi yodea im leis kozos higat l'malchus. Maybe this is the reason you're here." Where does she get the inspiration to say, "You know what, no matter what I've already done, if a new opportunity presents itself, I have to do more"? Tavo basbita shel Sarah. She looks at Sarah and how Sarah lived her life. And a person always has to be accomplishing. We always have to be growing. We always have to be looking to grow. Pointed out many times, Carol Dweck, the growth mindset makes all the difference. If a person thinks that you are who you are and you're never really going to change, "I'm good at this, I'm bad at that." The Stanford professor, Carol Dweck, built her whole career on the notion that 98% of people can be taught to be great at any given task. if they really dedicate themselves to it and if they have the proper mindset, which means that of all the people in this room right now, you could take the least artistic, let's say, person in the entire room, which would probably be me, and if he really dedicates himself to working on it, could become the most artistic person in this room. We have the ability to be great. We just have to want to grow and continue to seek things and search for things. And look what he says. Chayov einam chayim. Once you stop growing, once you stop searching, once you stop seeking, you're not living anymore. V'yamav yamim shein bem chayfetz. And life becomes something that has no desire anymore, no drive. Ki ikar achiyus ha-mechayis kol ha-nivra hu ha-tshuka ha-tsuma l'mashamuna chutzolo. The Kashala Sigo. We derive our chiyus, we derive our lifeblood from the desire to get what we don't yet have. Ve'eino the mace v'chatzi tavos of biyado. A person doesn't die with half of his tavos in his hand. You always want more. You always, oiv mitzvos lo yispa mitzvos. And he goes on to say, v'ulay lo zakivnu chazal b'medrash shadosh al mikra v'yara l'kimis ha'or kito v'yibadel shagunzu l'tzadikim lasulavo. That God took a certain light and put it away for the tzaddikim lasulavo. Ratzolomer sheli olam ye'or amiti gonuz me'enei tzaddikim. That the true light will always be hidden from the tzaddikim. Why is this light hidden from the tzaddikim in this world? Because v'yachkaru v'yidrushu lasigo. They're supposed to look and search and seek it. Obaze yimtzu tanuk chiyusam v'kol zuchus kiyumam. And that's where they're going to find meaning in life. By looking and searching. To elevate themselves. And he says that's what it means. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. God created us to do. We're always supposed to be doing. He says if you look in the Ibn Ezra on the Pasuk la'asos, hashrashim b'chol aminim shenoslam koch la'asos kidmusam. He says the Ibn Ezra says that la'asos means that Hashem gave the ability of all creatures to replicate themselves. Human beings reproduce, plant life, you can plant a seed and another thing just like it will come out of the ground. That's la'asos. And Rashi and the Ramban reject the Ibn Ezra. And they say, why would you say, he says, Mistama, the reason they reject the Ibn Ezra is why would you say that la'asos means, to replicate oneself? There are other words in Hebrew for that. You would say lifros velirbos. Right? That's pruvu. Why la'asos? So says the Dor Ravi, Veliha ani nira lakayim pirush harav Avraham Ibn Ezra. Says, I think the Ibn Ezra is correct. Thank you very much. Says, I think the Ibn Ezra is correct. Avalokai ala tolda tivis shemolid bedomelo. Elokai ala adam. Uperusha shemimash shebar elokim yasa adam besichlo chadashos lahotzi akochos atzfunos bebriya lepulas yadayim. Says what it's describing over here is not man's ability to have children. You're right, that would be lefros v'lerbos. It's man's ability to be creative. It's man's ability to discover. It's man's ability to accomplish new things. La'asos, that's what we're here for. And he says that same is true in Torah. Im shama b'yashan tishma b'chadash. The more you chazer your old learning, the more you're going to be able to see chidushim in your learning. From the old learning, we're going to find new learning. That's what Chazal says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Kol ma she'talmud vasik asid l'ischadesh Ki b'koach ha'yamunach ha'Torah Kol ma she'yasid l'ischadesh b'chol dor v'dor. The Torah has this amazing expansive ability, that expandability, that everything anyone's going to be mechadesh can be derived from the Torah. Ki adam la'amal yulad v'liros tov v'lismach ba'amalo. We have to work at it, and that's what we're here for. Zeh b'mash mechadish mamtzi davar b'tzarcho b'nei adam agashmim. For some people, it's going to be building bridges and doing physical things. V'zeh b'mash motzi yikar mezula. And others, it's going to be finding the gems of Torah. It says that's what it's mamish kimo b'bereishis baral kimes shmayim v'saharetz. God created the physical world for us to do, for us to have scientific endeavor, for us to accomplish things, for us to invent things, for us to, but it's all that potential, find new medications and cures and things, all of that was created in the world in the 6 days of creation. So the same is true with Torah. Eila mitzvos, ei navi rashe lechadish davar. That's not to be mosif or gorea from a parsha, but to make new halachos, that we certainly have the ability to do. To expand chidushei Torah, we certainly have the ability to do. So then he moves on in the next paragraph. Zeh lashon Rambam zal beperek beis milchus mamrim. The Rambam writes, beis na gadol shedarshu b'achas min amidos kfi mashenir beinayim shadin kach. If the beis na gadol darshins that din should be a certain way using the yudgil mid shatar and jashben v'donu din, and they issue a judgment. Va'omer achrayim beis din acher l'storoso. And another basin gets up to try to contradict that judgment. Hareza soser vidan kefi mashenira be'enav. The later basin is fully entitled to judge based on what they think to be correct against the earlier basin. Shenemar el hashofet hashiriya b'yom mehem. Ein chachayv l'leches elach har basin shebiyamecha. You don't have to follow previous generations, but they did. You follow the Beis Din in your lifetime, even though you know that our Gedolim today are not as great as the Chassam Sofer and Rabbi Kiva Eger, and are not as great as Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon and Rabbi Shmuel, and are not as great as Moshe and Aaron and the Shem Zekanim, but still we follow the Beis Din of our generation. That's what the Rambam says. Aye, but doesn't this contradict what the Rambam himself writes in Halacha Beis? From the Mishnah Nedios, that in order to uproot that which was said by an earlier Bezdin, you need the later Bezdin to be greater, b'chachmo b'minyan from the earlier Bezdin. So it never happens, we can never uproot anything from an earlier Bezdin. He says, that's only b'gzeira utakana avalo b'feirush ha-Torah. There are two types of things an earlier Bezdin might have said. An earlier Bezdin might have made a gzeira, that you're not allowed to, dance on Shabbos because Shemi is talking klishir, something like that. Now to take medicine on Shabbos, Shemi is shachik saman, and maybe you're going to make the medication. Whatever, a gzeira, or a takana that you have to lulav nital kol shiva. You have to take lulav for all 7 days, and not just the first day of Sukkot, even outside of the mikdash. A takana. Those kinds of things we can't uproot unless we have a basin that's called al b'chacham of minyan. But when it's a Perush HaTorah, when it's using the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben to figure out what the Torah is telling us, not a rabbinic innovation, but it's a rabbinic interpretation, that we are as entitled to an opinion as any earlier generation. And if we see it a certain way, we can follow the way we see it, and we don't have to follow what the earlier generation said. V'ikshasham b'kesav Mishnah l'fidas ha-Rambam. So the Kesav Mishnah asks on the Rambam, Eich porach ha-shas ha-memra da-amora mi-Mishnah o-Braisa. If this is correct, then why? How do you explain Gantz Shas? Every single page in Shas, what happens in Shas? And Amora says something, and we say, oh, but v'atanya, v'hatnan, state in a-Braisa, the opposite, or in a Mishnah. Why is it a kasha? The Amora has the right to disagree. It's a Perush HaTorah. He has the right to say it the way he wants to. Why don't we just say they could argue? So the Kesev Mishnah writes, V'efshar lomar, Kesev Mishnah says, D'miyom chasimus ha-Mishnah kimu v'kiblu shedoros ha-achronim lo yachluk wal rishonim. That even though in Achinami, they were permitted to argue on the Tanaim, from the days of the chasimus ha-Mishnah, the Amoraim decided that they're no longer going to argue on the Tanaim. And when the Gemara was concluded, the Gaonim and Rishonim decided they're not going to argue on the Gemara. That's what the Kesem Mishnah says. So says the Dor Revi'i, if that were true, like the Kesem Mishnah says, Eich lo huskar inyan gadol v'nora kazeh b'kol ashas bavli v'Yerushalmi. So it's very nice to say that there was a decision made, that all the Amoraim got together with the apparent exception of Rav and said, we're not going to argue on Tanaim anymore. Because Rav Tanu hu upalik, Rav does argue on Tanaim. And that all the Rishonim got together and said, you know what, we're not going to argue on Amoraim. It doesn't say that anywhere in Shas, that such a meeting ever took place. How could you make up something like that? How could something that important have not made it into Shas? All of Psak comes from this. Our entire Mesorah is based on this rule. And no one's going to mention this rule. So he says, Umashanir lafia niyastaiti b'inyan haram v'anisal azeh. That which I think about this very weighty and significant matter, Israel pi madisa b'gemara gittin daf samach amid beis, he says, I think it needs to be explained based on the gemara and gittin, and I think the Kesef Mishnah is off base. Darvi b'shita was not shy when he disagreed with someone, even if we were people from previous generations. And he writes in the end of his psicha, I think, not in the Akdamah, I think in the psicha, that it doesn't mean he thinks he's greater than everybody else, and he knows he probably made mistakes also, but he thinks this is what a Talmud Chacham is supposed to do. He's supposed to try to figure out what you think is the truth and say it and believe it and say it strongly. So the Gemara in Gittin tells us, Minayin ledvarim shebal peh shiata rashi lamar b'ksav. How do I know that you're not allowed to write down Torah shebal peh? Because it says, K'sov l'chos hadvarim e'ela. E'ela ata kosev yata kosev halachos. That you're supposed to write Dvarma Eila, Torah Shabbat, but everything else you're not supposed to write. So Dvarma Shabbat, you're not allowed to say Balpeh, and Dvarma Shabbat, you're not allowed to write down. The Gemara is Joshua's for both. So Darvi quotes Rashi, Dvarma Shamartil Chabbat, yet a Rashi, the Muslim, the Yisrael Alpeh. That anything that was given to us is Torah Shabbat, we're not allowed to give it over Balpeh. So he says, you know, they ask on Rashi, I don't know who he's quoting, Risi b'tuf-tuf, I don't know who tuf-tuf. Sheneskasha b'divri Rashi zal. There's difficulty with Rashi, I don't know who that is. Loma zed dafka l'mosram l'yisol. Why does Rashi say, you know, how would you formulate this halacha? You're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh. So Rashi says, yeah, they couldn't write down Torah Shebal Peh to give over to the Jewish people. What was missing if you just write, if you just say you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebal Peh? What is Rashi adding when he says L'masran li'Yisrael al peh? Meaning you're not allowed to give Torah Shebuksav rather bal peh to the Jewish people. Just say you're not allowed to say Torah Shebuksav bal peh. L'mas adavka l'masran li'Yisrael v'alo Yisru l'kalech li'atzmo. L'chor of the Yisru is even on a private level. If you're reading Chumash, you got to read it from the Chumash, not allowed to quote it by heart. Uldaiti nira de kamo b'seifa b'dvar mishal pei atarash el kasim udafka l'masim yisal lilma mehem. Avalir shum la'atzim k'desh l'ishkach shari. He says it seems that the other half has to be only about teaching to others. What's the other half? That dvarim shebal pei you're not allowed to write down. He says that has to be only about teaching. Do you think no one ever took notes before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi came along? No one had a notebook? They really had to commit everything to memory? It's like you walked into Shir and the Rebbe said, all notebooks away. No, that's impossible. Of course they took notes. But the notes were for themselves. It was for their own learning. It was for their own recollection. But it didn't become a standard text of Torah. It was a personal notebook. The Isser, at that point, was to write it down as a way of being Moser, to make a Sefer that everyone's going to learn from. No, everything had to be transmitted, Bal Peh, but for your own learning, of course you take notes. So that's what Rashi says, if that's the Isser of writing down Torah Shebal Peh, is only in the Mesiras HaTorah, the Isser of saying Torah Shebuksav must also only be in the Mesiras HaTorah, because they're two sides of the same coin. And he goes on to say, Ubamas Chazal Kvar Yashval Meduchazu. Chazal already discussed this issue. Tulo Nechluka Torah L'Shnayim B'Ksav Bal Peh. V'lom Lo Nitna Kula B'Ksav. Why did God do this in the first place? Why did we have to have a Torah Shebal B'Ksav and Torah Shebal Peh? Just write it all down. Whatever you want me to know, put it in a book. Give a rule book in advance, so I'll know everything I need to know, and I'll consult with it whenever I need to. It's the way every good instruction manual works. You ever see a car instruction manual? It's like, it's a book. So you don't sit there reading the whole book, but when a light turns on the dashboard and you don't know what it is, you look it up in that book and you find out what the problem is. So God should have given us everything b'chsav. We'd be able to look everything up and it would be no problem. So the Gemara explains. Hizor b'divrei sof from Yosem b'divrei Torah. Shedivrei Torah yesh b'maseh v'losaseh v'divrei sof from kol over al divrei sof from chayiv misa. Shema tomerim yesh b'mamish b'nemalo nichtavu. The Gemara says you have to be so careful about divrei sofrim. What does divrei sofrim mean? So divrei sofrim is often understood to mean dinim d'rabbanan, but usually it's not what it means. The Rambam, when the Rambam says something to be divrei sofrim, you know what the Rambam means usually? It doesn't mean dinim d'rabbanan. Divrei kabbalah's neviim. Divrei sofrim, he says, the Rambam used to describe kiddush hakesef, for example. The Rambam says midivrei sofrim. Kiddush hakesef is din daraisa, kicha mistei isha, mistei ephron. Right? So what does he mean by divrei sofrim? He means that which the Rabbanan used, the Yud Gimel Amido Shatar and Drash Ben, to derive. Not beferish in the pasuk. The Rabbanan used a kal v'chomer, gzeir shava, and they derive a halacha. You can be mekadesh nisha using kesef. And millions of other halachas. So he says, divrei sofrim is more valuable on a certain level than all the assays and the los assays that are explicit in the Torah. If they're so important, says the Gemara, in Erev and Daf Chaf Aleph, why didn't God write them down? Omar Kra, asos svarim harbe ein kates. That's the answer. Asos svarim harbe ein kates. Ad kal neshon haGemara. So what does that mean? So Darvi understands what the Gemara is telling us is that Divrei Sofrim includes so much. It's so expansive, it's so big, and it's ever growing. It's infinite. So it's not something that could ever be written down. By writing down all of it, if you were to write down millions and millions of books, you would by definition be limiting Divrei Sofrim. Because it's infinite. That's the Koach HaTorah. That we have the ability to be Mechadish Torah, and to expand the Torah, and to grow Torah. However, he says, Avolda, Dinei HaChilik HaGodol V'Anigla Le'in Kol Shebein Torah Shebeksav L'Torah Shebalpeh Hu Ki Torah Shebeksav Nimsra L'Moshe Mila B'Mila. Says the big difference between Torah Shebuksav and Torah Shebal Peh is that Torah Shebuksav was given word for word, Mibreishis Adayne Kol Yisrael, from the beginning to end to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'Torah Shebal Peh Nimsalo Inyan V'lo Amilos. But Torah Shebal Peh, the Inyan was given, not the words. And that's why we say about the Nevi'im, that no two Nevi'im were misnavei b'signon echad. They were not misnavei in the same way, because the Nevi'im, it was up to personal interpretation. Moshe Rabbeinu was Misaveh B'zeh HaDavar, and every other Navi was Ko Amar Hashem. Zeh HaDavar means you can be Marabatzvah, you can point to it, that word, that word, that word. Ko Amar Hashem is more vague. There's a vision, there requires interpretation. So anything that's given Baal Peh, by its nature, it's understood that different people will understand it differently. And that makes it more elastic. That makes it more flexible, and it makes it more expandable. So Torah Shebichsav, by definition, is limited because it's a given number of words, and it's only those words. Torah Shebal Peh, the beauty and the importance of it, is that it's what contributes to the infinity of Torah. And therefore, he says, Umeyata. Someone who doesn't want to pervert the truth will come to the decision and the understanding. The fact that we're not allowed to write down the Torah Shebal Peh, is we don't want to lock in our generation to understand the Torah Shebal Peh the same way the previous generation had to understand it. And the generation before that. It's meant to be elastic. It's meant to be able to be understood differently by different people. Once you write it down, you're limiting it. Everyone faces different circumstances, and drusho shinoi dineim takonos v'tikunim, and we therefore need a different Torah. V'reisi b'sefer aksava akabali, says I saw in the sefer aksava akabali shetarach kamkein limsotam lama nimsu rov dinei Torah al peh. He also is bothered why most of Torah is given over bal peh. V'lo od ela shekasha lo yosek ki arbe parshiyos shebetorah nishtanu mikol v'kol al yidei Torah shebal peh shotziyam mipashtusam. Many, many critical elements of Torah are what seem like corruptions of the Torah Shebichsav, where something's taken totally out of its pshat. Why didn't God just write it more clearly? Ksav HaGabal says things weren't written more clearly so that we could test us to see if we're going to accept the MS of Chazal. The Doravi is not at all happy with this Ksav HaKabala. Ube MS eino kedai lahashiv al dvarim betelim ke'elu. It's not even worth my time to respond to such a ridiculous statement. V'yafai sashtikasam yidiburo, he probably shouldn't have come to work that day, the day that he wrote down that idea. All he does is he makes the kasha worse. Avala emesu says no. The real reason is she chachma nifla me chachmas haTorah. That it's the amazing depth of Torah. Shemasal lechachmi kol dar v'dar perish haTorah. That every generation got a perish haTorah. Kedesh tia Torah chaya ima uma. The Torah lives with us. If we're living, the Torah has to be living. It's the Torah's chayim. That's why he says, what do we say in Birch Satan? Torah's MS? That's Torah Shebichsav. V'chaye Yolam! Who Torah Shebal Peh? Why is Torah's MS is Torah Shebichsav? Because MS is finite. MS is definable. Chaye Yolam! That's Torah Shebal Peh. That's Nitzchius. Chinuch writes, Lo sasur yamin small kolomer afilu you heim toim dvarechon mi dvarim ein roi loch lach lo kalayim. Avo nase kato usa v'tov lispol tos achas v'yelo akol musum tachas daitum atov tamim. V'lo shiasa kol echad v'echad kfi daito. She b'zeh yechur ben adas v'chil lev ha'am v'hefsidu malagamri. That we have to follow our chachamim even if it seems what they're doing is wrong. The Ramban writes, "Al tachshuv bilvavcha shem tovim v'adavar pashut beinach kimin l'smal." Don't think that you've figured it all out and the chum got it all wrong. Tasek mitzvasim, follow the chumim. Don't say, "Eich ochel achelav agomer zeh." I hold this is chelav. How could I eat it? Eich ero ki ish anaki azeh. I hold this guy's not chayiv mis. How could I kill him? El atomer kach tzivos ya adonam mitzaves hamitzvos. It doesn't seem to me that way, but the chachmei amesora have the ability to do that. They have the ability to interpret it in the depths of Torah. So you see that the Torah was given, Torah Shebal Peh was given, not in words, but in ideas that were vague enough that they're up to human interpretation. And that's the answer of the Gemara. If it's so, if Torah Shebal Peh is so emes and so important, why wasn't it written down? Aso svarim harbe yein kates, because then you're limiting it. And he says, and that's what the Rambam means, coming full circle. That Rambam holds any Beis in his generation, even if he's not greater than the previous generation, can be cholik on the previous generations. The Beis of Yeshua is allowed to be cholik on the Beis of Moshe Rabbeinu in Perush HaTorah V'Adrashos. That's El Ashavet Ashayiyah Bayam Mehem. Avol Me'eis Asher Rabbeinu HaKadosh V'Chach Midaro. He says, but that's why writing the Mishnah became such a big deal. And that's why the Amoraim don't argue on the Tanaim. Because once they decided they had to write down the Mishnah, why was it such a big deal? What's going to be? This is a Feirus or a Zecha. We're uprooting the Torah. How many times Chamer always oker dav min haTorah b'shevi al taser b'kumah sayivim? You know, why is this such a big deal? So you know why it was a big deal? Because it changed the whole dynamic of Torah. Torah now became limited. We can no longer argue on the Tanaim. We're not allowed to. That's what they were doing by putting words to it. Once it wasn't Baal Peh, everything has to fit those words. And once they wrote down the Gemara, everything has to fit those words. They turned the Torah Baal Peh into a Torah Shebichsav. And that limited the Torah. It made it finite. In a certain sense. And that's why Tanaim don't argue on Amoraim. Amoraim don't argue on Tanaim. And Rishonim don't argue on Amoraim. Right, he has a lot more to say. But we're out of time for today. Maybe next week we'll do the other half of it. Let's see.